here we are with Susie and Martel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Another beautiful November morning.
Kind of frozen out there.
Yeah, but still not any snow up the highway. So, yeah.
Yay.
Unusual November again.
Uh-huh.
So this morning we're going to talk about something. I brought Susie in specially to talk about this because she is a person that's growing microgreens, and it's come into my awareness that it's a new thing in town. You can buy them in the grocery store, and people keep talking about growing them. And I said, so I want to learn about this. So I called Susie, and she said, sure, I'll come on the air and talk about it. So,
good plan.
Susie, what the heck are microgreens, and how are you growing them?
All right. Well, I am happy to dive into that, and I just need to say good morning. Upper Lynn Canal, it's a pleasure to be in the sound booth once again and talk about something that I find very exciting. And so I have gotten on board with this microgreens project. And one of the things that called me to it is that it provides an opportunity, especially now in this frozen ground time, low light time, to be able to eat something that's alive. And so effectively, what are microgreens? Microgreens are the baby state of a plant. So as your plant grows, it goes through the initial shoot, dicot or the cotyledon stage. And the microgreen is that point of growth that is beyond the initial sprout stage, but before you get to the full-blown plant a mature plant stage. And so the concept with eating the microgreen is that plant is packed with micronutrients, preparing it to shoot up.
So you're getting the best bang for your buck.
You are getting the best bang for the buck. And that leads me to the point, too. So this is not, eating microgreens is not per se a bulk food option. You're not going to fill your belly with microgreens, but in my perspective, it beats the pants out of opening a bottle and taking a pill. It's one of many ways we can approach a healthy, vital life. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that really draws me to it is this is the baby stage, I think, of our valley here beginning to take a stronger approach in growing food year-round.
It's one way that you can have those greens in the winter.
Absolutely.
Without having to think about storage. Mm-hmm. You have to think about other things, which you're going to talk about, but you don't have to think about a root cellar or all of the things we've been talking about the last week. So
absolutely.
This is fresh stuff all the time. So how do you get that fresh stuff?
Well, most good things in life take effort. And so the effort here that you want to control for these babies, the plant where you eat the baby, eat the children, whatever, eat the small stage. So the most important things to consider with a successful microgreen system is you're controlling for light, temperature, and water, right? So what the light system is a fluorescent light, which is able to provide the spectrum that these plants need at a close source. They need to be kept warm. And the watering system that we use, they through trial and error, we find that they really like water that is at a pH of 5. And through some experimentation in town, we found that not only the Mud Bay spring water, but also the Beach Road well water is perfect. So if you were going to try this system try an experiment with a city water system, much like a lot of gardeners who are tending starts, you want to make sure that you would let the chlorine dissipate off. And then you can add micronutrients or add a hydroponic solution that helps bring the pH to the proper balance.
And having that pH be correct in water is a real gift, because that was one of the things when I did do hydroponic stuff. My water is extremely alkaline. And so that was a big concern of mine that I had to put quite a bit of energy into, is keeping that pH down. So those of you who have that already, that is a really big blessing to being able to do this system.
Absolutely. And so I would offer too, there's a lot of different ways. What we have here, what's on the ground here, is a system that's been put together by the Alaska Research Garden. They are not the only game in town per se. Microgreens are not brand new. They've been, there's actually a lot of high-end restaurants mm-hmm. who have been using it as garnish and the foo-foo food and such, but mm-hmm. it really has legs on it to the degree of its nutritional value. And so we're obviously not going to be able to cover anything, so I'll shoot out there for further information. You can always get to the AlaskaResearchGarden.com page, and there's also another one that's very helpful called growingmicrogreens.com.
Growing microgreens or growing greens?
Growing microgreens.
Growingmicrogreens.com. Okay.
And so do you pull up the roots and all, or you snip it?
We snip it. And okay. That, again, trial and error. I've tried to do the hand pull, and you end up getting a little bit of roots and dirt.
Okay.
Using scissors is the best way to do it. And so
and
they regrow.
They will not regrow. Like if you over-harvest a plant in your garden, you take it down to the point where it can't regrow. Similarly, it will not mm-hmm. regrow because mm-hmm. it's at such a delicate state that you've snipped it down. It's not going to regrow for you.
Hmm. Okay. So, and what kind of lights do you use?
They are they're a fluorescent light. They're called T5 fluorescents.
Which is kind of your standard fluorescent.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, one thing that we are going to look at in this show in the future is people have asked about LED lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get into this now, but that would save probably some money. And mm-hmm. I know that there's work being done. They're probably more expensive to get. But anyway, so the T5 fluorescents have been used for years and they work.
Mm-hmm.
So now you talked about water, heat. So we've talked about peach of water. How in the world do you keep it warm in the middle of the winter?
Great question. And so the system, so it's a funny story, actually. So here, Michelle, who is Michelle LaBrosse, who's sort of the inceptor of this particular iteration of growing microgreens, happened to be down in Juneau with a friend looking to put a hydroponic system together with the idea was she was helping her friend try to figure out how to grow medicinal cannabis. And she walked into the store and the hydroponic guy said, here's this setup. It would be phenomenal for microgreens. And a little light bulb went off in her head and thought, this is what I am going to try. So she put the pieces, parts together to build this system. And part of what makes it work is a tent that wraps around the whole. So imagine, if you will, I'll go Twilight Zone here. Imagine, if you will, you have the full-blown, full-size system, and we are working on making smaller systems for personal use in smaller mm-hmm. spaces. Mm-hmm. But in its iteration right now, the basic system is 5 shelves that are about 4 feet long, 2 feet deep, and about 6 feet high. Imagine like a pantry shelf or a commercial kitchen metal pantry shelf. And then the whole thing has it's a foil-lined tent that you zip up completely. So once your lights go on, that is what is being able to hold the heat. And then mm-hmm. You can control for, depending on the temperature of the room that you have it, if it starts to get hot, the unit comes with a fan. So you have your little thermometer temperature gauge, and when the temperature starts getting too high, the thermostat, exactly.
Okay.
The fan will kick on. And so the idea is, in order to germinate, you have your germination stage, which would be at the bottom of the whole operation that's not under lights. But you do have a little grow dome to be able to create a nice little terrarium atmosphere. And so what we use for our grow medium is called a coco core, and it's mm-hmm. a cast off from the coconut industry. Effectively, we're also beginning to experiment with peat moss just to see, and so why do we do that to begin with? And that's one of the differences between sprouts and the microgreen. A sprout has no dirt whatsoever.
No
medium. I heard you talk mm-hmm. about that last mm-hmm. week, about how important it is to keep those babies washed mm-hmm. and clean so you don't have any bacteria collection. So similarly, we're using the growth medium that's a sterile medium, so you're controlling for bugs, pestilence, or bacteria. And so you disperse your little seeds on top of that, give them a spritz to get them a little damp, and put the dome on top of that. And most of the seeds, and some of my favorite ones, will actually germinate within 2 to 5 days mm-hmm. max. And then you should be able to see a harvest ultimately in 10 days. So to back
10
up.
10 days from the start.
10 days from the very point that you put it in the dirt.
So if you had one of these setups, one of the bigger setups, we're talking about every 10 days you would get 5 trays of, of greens. So it would be a great thing to do as a cooperative with your neighbors or with a group of friends. It would be a really good thing to be able to share to do if you didn't want to set up your own.
Absolutely.
Could you stagger it within the same compartment?
Have different lights? Is that what you're asking?
No,
different
I'm
layers
asking,
have different
like,
lights?
This one will be ready to harvest on one day and then the next one and next
that's
day.
The
yeah.
whole, that's yeah. the whole idea, too.
So you don't have
right.
10.
So depending on how much you want to have at once, that's exactly the idea is that you get your, let's say, if you wanted to go big, you have room to do 4 trays, which are about 14 inches by about 10 to 12 by 14. Mm-hmm. And within each one of those, you could either do a whole flat if you knew that you loved one particular one and you just wanted to do a 10 by 14 flat of one style for personal consumption. Or you can use these little 4x4 inserts. And the idea is within each big tray, you want to have the same germination time. So that tray then, once it's popped, once it's germinated, then you move it up into the lights, right? So the whole tent is keeping the whole environment nice and warm for the germination process to happen. Then as they germinate, you move them up to the next level. And the whole concept of the different levels is that when you first start, you'll start moving them up to the under the first lights. And so if you're going big, what happens when you have more seeds that are ready to move under the lights? Then you take your bottom shelf plants and you move it up to the top. So it goes from the germination to the first. You just move them up. And if you're only doing a small amount, and that's one of the newer things that Michelle is working on, designing the concept. And anybody else is welcome to jump on board. You just, you know, this beautiful mind that's working on problem solving for a smaller scale to perhaps do a smaller two-tier thing that's just a germination spot and a grow spot. And just the thing about depending on, especially through the winter, most of us have cooler environments and they won't germinate unless they're warm enough. They like it between 75 and about 80 degrees.
Okay, so
too
that's the temperature.
Too hot won't work and too cold won't really work.
So either. That may be one of the reasons why I had a few difficulties when I tried my sunflowers a few years ago. I'm going to go back and do it again, but it's that even heat. And one of the questions that I know that people are interested in is what on earth are the greens that that work? So could you run through your favorites, ones that you found are working?
And so here's a list of the favorites based on 2 points. Number one, shorter germination time and easier grow. So they happen quick and the flavors are great. Favorites, Alaska Research Garden favorites, myself included, include radish greens, mustard greens, Thai basil, arugula.
That's an interesting one, the Thai basil.
The Thai basil, that's the one that you either love it or hate it. It's got a really distinct flavor that either turns people on or off. As well, arugula, dill, fennel, amaranth, chard, sorrel, cabbage, kale, and cauliflower. Not included on this list, but one of my other favorites is sunflowers. And the kids really seem to like those a lot.
Great.
And they are available right now at the store on Main Street across from the hotel. We are doing a little bit of reworking the watering system, and there's a little bit of a staff change. So in town, you may see a lapse, but
a week
it's
or so.
All happening. It's all happening and available, and I invite anybody to contact me.
Yeah, I mean, this
with questions.
We've only been able to touch a little bit of this, and I knew that we weren't going to be able to go into details. So if you are inspired by this, and if it's something that is of interest to you, I would say check out these websites. And then also Susie, Renee are in town who have some experience, and catch them in the grocery store or mountain market or someplace and ask them about what they've learned. And I do think it's an exciting way of having greens, fresh food in the winter here. So thanks, Susie.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Okay, and so if people have questions, what do they do?
If they have questions, they can either contact Susie or Renee, go to alaskaresearchgarden.com or growingmicrogreens.com, or they always can write to garden@khns.org, and we will then refer and answer questions and whatnot. So many options are available.
Thank you so much. I've been very curious about the microgreens. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much. And we'll see you next week.
Great. Thanks,
thank
Joni.
Thanks, Joni. Have a great day.
Actually, it'll be a couple weeks because next week is Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's
and we
right.
will not be here. So.
Hey, I won't be here.
Ah, well, that's right. You won't be here. So gardening has to stop for a couple weeks, I guess.
All righty then. Okay. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too, Joni.
Bye-bye.